Welcome, everyone, to the first of what we hope will be many successful IAPP podcasts on important topics in privacy and security. I'm Peter Kosmala, Assistant Director of the IAPP, and today's program is a special showcase of the new 2005 IAPP Poneman Institute Salary Survey, known officially as the Privacy Professionals Role, Function, and Salary Survey. This is an annual report compiled by IAPP and Poneman that surveys important trends in the privacy industry and is available exclusively and only to IAPP members. Our session today will highlight the top-line findings of the survey and will be conducted as an interview between the IAPP and the report's researcher and author, the Poneman Institute. Our guest is Dr. Larry Poneman, who is founder and president of the Poneman Institute, which is the leading research organization in information privacy and management issues. And our interviewer is J. Trevor Hughes, who is executive director of the IAPP. It is now my pleasure to introduce you to Larry and Trevor.
Well, thank you, Peter. This is Trevor Hughes speaking, and I am delighted to be here on the first of what we hope will be many podcasts. This file is going to be available from the IAPP website, but the document, the research that we are talking about, I should note, is available exclusively to IAPP members. So we hope we whet your appetite for much more of the data that is available in the very broad report that Larry and the Poneman Institute have created. So Larry, welcome, and thank you for joining us, Trevor.
Yeah, it's great fun. It's really an honor to be your first podcast participant and maybe guinea pig, but hopefully we make this a fun event. Thank you.
I hope so, too. So why don't we start off with good news, Larry? Every year it seems that the average salary of privacy pros is going up, and that seems to be the finding again this year. You know, privacy pros seem to be solidly in six figures. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, it's true. It seems like every year the salary continues to increase, and it's tracking at or above the national average. We actually compare the results of our research against national census statistics and U.S. Labor Bureau statistics. And, you know, the good news is that if you're in the privacy industry, you're probably earning a good salary. I'm sure some people feel like they can earn a whole lot more doing other things, but quite frankly, it's a pretty nice place to be right now. We see that between 2004 and 2005, salary increased on average at 2.5%. But that's a little bit of an interesting issue. If you kind of study our report, you'll find that if you were an individual at the middle or senior levels of management, your salary rate actually increased substantially. In fact, the sum total net increase between 2004 and 2005 was closer to 10%. So, you know, if you were a chief privacy officer, your salary increase probably looked pretty good.
Interesting. And so the average across all privacy professionals, as I see it in the survey, is about $109,000. Does that reflect sort of a growing professionalization in privacy, or does it reflect the fact that many privacy pros are coming to the job from legal backgrounds? Where do you think that's coming from?
That's a great question, Trevor. It's interesting that, you know, when we look back in time, the ancient history before the IAPP, you know, we talked about the privacy profession, and people would scratch their head and say, what is that? You know, I remember my days at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and I was doing privacy, and I'd be sitting on a plane next to someone. They said, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I work for Pricewaterhouse. Oh, you're an auditor. Not really. And, you know, I would be a little frightened to tell them what I did. I was, like, in privacy, and they would say, oh, I don't want to talk to you. Well, now it's just the opposite. I think we're starting to see more and more people very proud of the fact that they're in this profession. And we're starting to see, as a result of that, we do important things in organizations that we're starting to see salaries increase. It basically suggests that our management and executives of companies find a lot of value in what we do. So using your term, professionalization, I think with the professionalization, we're starting to see higher salaries. And hopefully that is a trend that will continue into the future.
Fascinating. One of the things I did note in the survey is that it sure does seem to be important where you report to as a privacy professional. If you report through compliance or HR, the average salary was $90,000, give or take a little bit. If you report to the CEO or CFO, it was $137,000.
Yeah, big spread.
What do you make of that, Larry? Is that a reflection of the importance that different companies place on privacy, or what do you see there?
Well, when our audience gets the copy of the report and they study it, they'll be looking at a bar chart. I think it's bar chart 4 in our report. And obviously, if you're reporting to the CEO, you're probably positioned pretty high in the organization. And that probably explains why people who are directly reporting to the CEO or even the board of directors are earning a very high salary relative to others. But it does make a difference. For example, if the chief privacy officer is reporting through corporate security or HR, and I don't want to belittle anyone who's listening in right now, but it does seem that your salary will be lower on average than people who are reporting through, say, marketing or even the Office of General Counsel. A secondary issue that may explain the salary differences is really the educational background. There are people, for example, in the, say, in the security area that have a bachelor's degree only, and they're in privacy, and I'm sure they're quite capable, especially if they have a CIPP credential. But there are folks, for example, in corporate law who are probably attorneys, and therefore, based on the graduate degree, the law degree, they're probably earning more higher salary as well. So that might explain some of the salary differences here.
Very interesting. One other thing I noted is that it seems to make a difference if you are in particular industries.
Right.
So our hardworking colleagues in the healthcare industry do not seem to be making as much as perhaps others. I'm presuming it's the same sort of reasons that are pushing those sorts of results.
Yeah, Trevor, I know we have lots of members who are hardworking, dedicated individuals in government or retail, healthcare. In our study, these folks are at the bottom of the list in terms of average salaries, and folks in the technology and software industry or the pharmaceutical industry or working in professional service firms like Deloitte, for example, are earning a much higher salary. I think that you'll always see differences in salary based on industry. There's usually a clustering effect that, you know, in general, some people in some industries just earn less. I'm not sure if it's fair or it's based on equity. It's just the economic reality. But we do see that, and that tracks across all 3 years in which we've been doing this study.
Interesting. Now, one of the things I was really happy about with this survey was it looked not only at the cold, hard numbers, which I guess is an objective measure of the salary of the privacy profession. It's salary, and that's easy to quantify. But it also looked at a current versus ideal allocation of effort.
Right.
In other words, where do privacy pros spend their time, and where do they think they should be spending their time, and is there a mismatch between those two things? And in fact, the survey showed a bunch of mismatches. And from my experience as a privacy pro, I read this and had one of those epiphanies of, well, this is a truth here. This is this is clearly correct. So tell us about those mismatches, Larry.
Well, you're right, Trevor. One of the questions that we included on the survey this year was, you know, how do you spend your time as a percentage to the total amount of hours that you allocate to privacy against your ideal? How would you like to spend your time to be more effective? We want to underscore more effective because some people might say, I want to spend my time on a beach drinking, margarita.
Right.
But the reality is that we found a lot of people spend their time responding to incidents. Incident management, problems, issues in the workplace, that explains as much as 50 to 60% in some cases of an individual's time. Now, that's important. I don't want to, downplay the value that brings to a company, but the same people were saying, look, I'd like to be less involved in day-to-day incident management and more involved in privacy strategy development, proactive risk assessment, the implementation of policies and guidelines, and even training and communications. So we started to see some interesting differences, and what's not in the report, and hopefully we can kind of break this out further in a future publication, is if you kind of compared people at different levels in an organization, compare people, men and women, there were differences based on other demographic or organizational factors in terms of how people spend their time. But I think the consistent variable of interest is that our profession is spending too much time reacting to problems rather than being proactive in managing a strategy for privacy.
Fascinating. One of the things I noted in this section of the report that there were gaps that essentially showed that privacy professionals were spending more of their actual time, and their desire was that they would spend a whole lot less. And then there was the inverse as well, that they were spending very little of their actual time and they wished that they were spending a whole lot more. And one of those areas was management reporting. And
right.
as I read that section where privacy pros were essentially saying, I'm spending a very little amount of my time telling senior management what I do and what privacy is, and I wish I could do that a whole lot more. I'm wondering if that reflects a frustration in the privacy profession that senior management just doesn't get it sometimes, or that with all of the voices that senior management needs to hear, there's just not enough time to get all of the privacy messages across.
You know, I think that's a common frustration for chief privacy officers, even beyond this report and, you know, talking to my friends and colleagues who are the privacy leaders in large organizations and small organizations. It appears that we don't have enough face time with the senior executive team, the CEO in many cases. Clearly we're in the boardroom when there's a disaster, you know, when we have to notify people of a gigantic security breach. You know, we're front and center then. But just on an ongoing basis, having a conversation or dialogue on these issues, it's probably important for a lot of us to have face time with senior executives because this is very important. I think our friends in information security share the same fate. You know, you only hear about them, you only know who they are when your computer is blowing up. And I think it would be nice if our, you know, friends in the with the title CEO decided to spend some time understanding what privacy professionals do within their organizations and how we add value. Also, I think there are times where you need for the CEO to step in because sometimes they need to adjudicate issues that are difficult, you know, where it may be an organization has to take on a different marketing strategy because its current strategy is too risky in a privacy sense. We want to see that kind of reporting as well, so we're, you know, the privacy officer can be then more proactive and part of the management team.
Interesting. So, Larry, this leads me to a question about the not only the title of the privacy pro within an organization, because that was one of the things that the survey looked at, but also the migratory pattern of the privacy professional, or the privacy profession, I should say. You know, one way to look at this would be to say, well, there sure seems to be a trend where privacy professionals are becoming compliance managers. I think that's clear in some industries, that's
sure.
clear in some reporting relationships. But then it also seems that there's a counter trend where privacy professionals are becoming more senior executives. And I can't quite make out exactly what's happening. Maybe they're sort of growing in both directions. What do you think?
That's a great question, and I'm not sure I have the exact, you know, crystal ball answer to that, but it appears that privacy professionals in certain industries, like, for example, the banking industry or the financial services industry in general, tend to be more compliance-focused. And in other industries, for example, in technology companies, take, for example, HP and Barbara Lawler, these are folks that are not compliance people, but they know the customer. They're in customer services or in call center management, and their background is such that they're in a great position to know about customer-related issues. In some companies, I think they view privacy as a way to engender more trust and confidence in the organization. And in some cases, this chief privacy officer is really the chief trust officer. You know, they're trying to advance that image that the organization is trustworthy, especially concerning the commitments to managing data properly from a privacy point of view or from a security perspective. And a good example of that is Janet Chapman at Charles Schwab. I think, you know, she's a person that is the chief privacy officer, but, you know, she has a close tie to the marketing department, marketing function, and as well as the CEO. And I think she views her mission as using privacy as a way to engender trust and confidence in Schwab, and she does a great job. So in answer to your very good question, I think we see more senior managers, executives, wearing the title chief privacy officer. And we're seeing some people rising in the legal and compliance ranks, and in other places they're rising in the marketing or public relations or customer outreach ranks. And so I'm not saying that these are competing models, but they're different, and they have different implications for the companies that they work in.
So, Larry, let's leave the report just for a second and see if we can wax poetic a bit, maybe offer some guidance to privacy pros and probably statisticians would cringe when we do this, but maybe we can take suggestions from this data about how privacy pros could make themselves more valuable to their organizations and perhaps earn more or increase their career potential. What kind of things do you think privacy pros can or should be doing? I'll throw out a couple that I think are pretty clear indicators. Branching out beyond a single compliance channel, it seems to me, is a good indicator of higher salaries. That mm-hmm. if you're outside of just an HR, or just a compliance, or just a legal department, and you're touching marketing, touching consumer affairs or customer relations, that might be an indicator of better income potential. Similarly, it would seem that better education, and you've already given us one gratuitous plug for the Certified Information Privacy Professional Program, mm-hmm. and as a founder, Larry, I thank you for that. It seems to me that things like certification could also be part of that equation. What do you think?
Well, you know, Trevor, and I don't get a commission for saying this, I want you to know that I'm very proud of the CIPP designation and what you've achieved. But I think if you're a new member of the privacy community, I would strongly suggest get certified, get your CIPP, because it's through professionalization that you will reap a higher salary. In terms of what you can do currently, right now, you know, as a privacy professional, I think education is important, but I also think it's important to figure out your role, that it's not just a compliance role. Try to understand that your role touches lots of different parts of an organization. Anywhere that information about people or about households is handled, it's managed, it's retained, it's saved, it's moved, there's a privacy issue. And get in front of those issues. Try to be proactive in helping to manage that. Work with others in an organization. It's funny, I had a conversation with Joe Aladef at Oracle, and Joe basically is a wonderful chief privacy officer. He has a staff, I think, of one person, but he also has a staff of thousands because his vision is privacy is everyone's business. And so what his job is, he's a missionary. He's out there basically getting people all excited about privacy, and therefore they're integrating good privacy practices into what they do. And I think when you do that, you become really important in your organization. You're probably going to see a bigger paycheck. Now, one issue which is kind of tough, it depends on the organization and its culture. But I think in order for a chief privacy officer to be effective, that person needs to be no more than three steps away, three levels away from the CEO. Otherwise, the message may get muddied. And that's a tough situation. You may start out as the privacy manager, but if you are smart and successful, you need to figure out a strategy to moving up in the corporate hierarchy because privacy is very important. And, of course, as you move up, you would expect to see your salary double, maybe even triple, I don't know, but certainly you will see an increase in compensation.
Excellent. Well, Larry, I thank you very much for
thank
participating
you,
in our very first podcast. I would call it a success.
Thanks. This is great
job.
Stuff.
For all of those listening now and in the future, we want to thank you for joining us for this very first podcast from the IAPP. Again, the IAPP Salary Survey, which was performed and co-sponsored by the Poneman Institute and reflects Larry's great, great analysis of the data of our emerging profession, is available to IAPP members. And if you're interested in receiving a copy, please do give us a call in IAPP offices at 207-351-1500. You can also learn much more about the IAPP on our website at www.privacyassociation.org. Again, Larry, let me thank you. And,
thank you, sir.
With that, I think we'll bring today's podcast to a close.
And I'm actually going to go out and buy my first iPod
so
today as a result.
Excellent. Thanks,
Larry. Everybody.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.